following program may be interrupted so that we may be able to bring you the latest war bulletins. Again, the makers of Phillips Milk of Magnesia toothpaste and tooth powder present the moving human drama of a woman's heart and a mother's love, Young Widder Brown. In the little town of Simpsonville, attractive Ellen Brown, with two children to support, faces the question of what she owes to them and what she owes to herself. Here's a story of life and love as we all know it. Today we have been asked by our government to bring you this message. 2 million women are wanted at once to work on farms and in factories, to join the wax and waves, to help in stores, restaurants, laundries, and other community services. Every woman who is able to work and can possibly take a job is asked to go to her local United States Employment Service office tomorrow and find out what jobs are available, both full and part-time. Take a job to help shorten the war. And now for the story of Young Widder Brown. Evan Brown is saying goodnight to Captain Anthony Loring, her fiancé. A troubled goodnight, for her son Mark is still missing from his home.
Look, darling, why can't I sit on your doorstep all night? At least I'd be near enough in case you wanted me to talk to you about this.
No, Anthony, no. Go along back to the hotel. It's enough that you're near and that I can telephone you, dear.
Once more, I could point out the advantage of a marriage between you and me. However, this is not the time.
No, it's not the time. Will you stop at the police station on your way to the Mansion House?
Certainly.
And call me?
Uh-huh.
And forgive me for being so very emotional and unbrave.
Darling, you have every right in the world to feel the way you do. It's your son who's lost. And gives you special privileges. I'm sure he's going to show up sometime tonight, though.
Anthony, if he only would, if he could only know that this is the place to come. If I could only get that message to him. Anthony, how could I have brought him up this far and not make him confident of me?
Now, look, if you intend to sit here with that on your mind, I'm not going to budge.
No, I'll go indoors, I promise, and I'll relax. I'll go up and talk with Janie.
All right, and call me, darling, will you, as often as you like?
Yes, dear.
And remember, Mark did go out to Camp Mercer to see me, and that means he's all right.
Yes, dear.
Good night, sweet.
Good night, Anthony.
But Janie is not in her room. For still frightened over the crime he thinks he helped commit, Mark has gotten his young friend, Phoebe McIntosh, to go to Janie for help. And now the two girls are hurrying down the street.
Phoebe, don't hurry so. I can't keep up with you.
Well, Janie, I've got parents which will be looking for me if I'm not in my bed. Well,
my mother doesn't know I'm out either, but I still can't walk with a stitch in my side.
All right, I'll try to walk slower. But if it was my brother, I'd hurry.
He isn't wounded, is he? He's just waiting to see me. I'm kind of mad at him anyway.
I don't think you should be.
Well, it wasn't fair of Mark to make me swear by the oath of the dead buffalo not to tell Mother.
What do you mean it wasn't fair, Janie?
Well, it wasn't fair. He knows I'd never violate that oath.
Well, that's why he did it, you dope.
And you shouldn't call me a dope, besides. Stop walking fast again. You've got on play shoes and I've got heels.
Serves you right for being so dressy and grown up, Janie. Everybody says you're just rushing everything.
They do not. Who says that? That isn't true. That's terrible.
Well, nobody says it really. But I think you are. All of a sudden you get very stuffy and grown up.
Oh, don't be silly. Where's Mark been all day? What did he tell you?
He says he's a desperate man and he's going to jail and all that. He's in a terrible mess, Janie.
What did he do? Did he tell you?
No.
I wouldn't be one bit surprised if he didn't do anything, Phoebe.
Janie, he's a desperate man and he means it. I think you're pretty hard-hearted to talk like that.
Well, I'm thinking of my mother, who's just beside herself. My goodness, Phoebe, if you had a son who disappeared, you'd be desperate, not him.
Well, he hasn't disappeared because he's right in my father's garage.
Well, why doesn't he come home to his own garage?
He doesn't go home to his own garage on account of the police will arrest him.
Why?
Because of being a criminal. Why do you think?
Phoebe, my brother is not a criminal.
He is so. He said he was himself.
He was bragging.
Why would he brag about being a criminal? Janie, don't be so silly ridiculous.
Oh, Mark's like that. He brags a lot.
He does not brag, Janie. Mark's a very lovely person. He doesn't brag, and he isn't one little bit conceited. He's a nice boy, Mark is.
All right. He's a nuisance for a brother. My heavens, I'm going to get out of that dead buffalo oath just as fast as I can. I'm not going to let my mother be so unhappy. That's terrible.
Well, you and Mark can talk about that. Oh, my.
What?
My father and mother are going out. Oh, I hope Mark has sense enough to get out of the garage before they see him there.
Well, what should we do, Phoebe?
Wait right here behind the hedge. Don't let them see you, Janie. For goodness sakes, don't let them see you.
And in Chicago, Judith Carter, the wife of the man who has brought all this upset into the life of Ellen and her family, is talking with her son, John, fearful of what her husband may be doing back in Simpsonville.
John, what are we to do? What can we do now?
Well, there are a lot of things we can do, Mother, but the first one is for you to quit worrying.
Oh, John, I can't bear for it to happen again. For Simon to go to prison again.
I know, Mother, I know. Just let me think the thing over.
It's the same crowd again, John. The same ones who mixed him up in the thing before. Ferguson is right in Simpsonville waiting while your father does what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's so changed, John, so terribly changed. I never realized what prison could do to him.
Well, let's get a couple more of the details, Mother.
Well, there aren't many, John, just what I've told you. Simon intends to get hold of that money he hid before he went to prison 10 years ago. And he can only get it if he finds the crossword puzzle.
And the crossword puzzle was in the handbag she picked up in mistake for her own.
Yes.
And Father thinks this Ellen Brown knows the value of the puzzle?
Well, he argues that if she didn't know it was valuable, why didn't she send it back with the other things that were in my handbag?
Uh-huh.
And he was so sure that she had it that he got her little boy Mark to help him.
Oh, that's a crummy thing to do, Mother.
Yes. Oh, but John, dear, what's the use? I want you to like him and trust him, to respect your father, but...
Now, don't worry, Mother. That's not important at this point.
It is important, John. It's what I've lived for and fought and prayed for all these years. That when Simon came out of prison, we could have at least a few years of happiness and contentment.
10 years in jail is apt to embitter anybody, Mother.
Then there's the disgrace. Oh, I tried so to shield you from that, so that you wouldn't be embarrassed and humiliated, John. Changing our name.
From Blake to Carter.
Peter Blake. We changed it to Simon Carter. Oh, I wonder whatever became of the real Peter Blake. The man I married. The man who thought my son, John, was the most wonderful person in the world.
Take it easy, Mother.
I wrote him when he was in prison. Wrote him everything you did. About our plans for you. How my job was holding up, and how you were working after school, and how proud he'd be of you.
Yep.
And I told him about Millicent. Oh, John, what shall we do about Millicent?
We're not going to worry about her.
And that was my greatest joy, your happy marriage. And the fact that I'd been able to keep things so that she wouldn't know about your father, so that she and her family would... Well, it proves, doesn't it? But you can't build anything on lies, no matter how well-intentioned they are.
Yep.
You're found out. You're always found out.
Mother, listen, dear.
And so you will suffer for what your father did, and Millicent will suffer, and the baby when it arrives in this world. Oh, John, what can we do? Simon isn't evil. He's weak. And he wanted so much to give you the good things of life.
Mother, dear, listen, I don't have any beef against my father at all. You've got to remember that. I'm just going a little bit daffy trying to figure out how to get him out of this jam.
Oh, it's too late, John.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Just let me figure it a bit, huh?
Your leave. Your precious little leave, darling. This is a horrid way to spend it. Millicent must hate me.
Millicent never hated anybody.
You're home for such a little while, and now I take your time and your thoughts. Oh, John, it's so unfair.
I think I'll go to Simpsonville, Mother.
Why, John.
If Father's still there, perhaps the sight of me might bring him back to the straight and narrow path. Son in uniform and all that. Make his conscience start churning.
Well? Oh, but darling, that's not fair to Millicent.
She'll understand. You'd be amazed at how much Millicent does understand, Mother.
John, when I came back here to Chicago today, I had such a strong determination to follow one particular path.
What path?
To forget Simon. To forget him and his problems and his worries.
You couldn't do it, Mother.
No, you can't. I can't let Simon go, John. No matter how much better it would be for you, I can't settle down here and forget him and not be responsible for him.
I can't either.
No. You see? I've saddled you with my responsibilities.
They're not your responsibilities, Mother. They're mine. I remember Father very well.
Oh, but John,
I remember Sundays in the park when I was 8 or 9. I remember baseball games. I remember following the comics with him. Meeting him when he'd get off the bus with the paper so that we could talk about what happened. Oh, I remember a lot of things about my father.
Oh, John, you actually talk as if you loved him.
I've got swell memories of him along with the tough ones. Now listen, tell me about this town of Simpsonville. Where is it? How do you get there? And how long does it take both ways?
So another newcomer is about to arrive in Simpsonville. And in the meantime, what of Ellen and her missing son? What of Simon Carter himself? Be sure to listen again tomorrow for Young Widder Brown. And now, Ellen.
America never wants to be second to anyone, not even to our gallant allies. In Great Britain, about 55% of the women are now engaged in war work. In Russia, about 75% of all workers are women. American women want to top this, and must top it, if we're to meet our 1944 production schedules and keep the home front running. With more and more of our men being called into the armed services every day, American women who are not now employed and who are able to work are needed by the hundreds of thousands and even millions to take their places at once in war plants and in essential civilian jobs. There's a particular need for women workers in armament production, on farms, in factories, and in such essential civilian jobs as grocery clerks, waitresses, salesgirls, laundresses, cooks, streetcar and train conductors. Every woman who is able to work is urged to go to the nearest United States Employment Service office tomorrow and find out what jobs are open to her. I repeat the name, the United States Employment Service office. The address is in the telephone directory. Take a job and help shorten the war.
Thank you, Ellen. Today's performance of Young Widder Brown was presented by the makers of Phillips Milk of Magnesia toothpaste and tooth powder, in cooperation with the drug, cosmetic, and allied industries, on behalf of the government's campaign to recruit woman power. Young Widder Brown will be on the air at this same time tomorrow, 4:45 p.m. Eastern Wartime. George Ansbrough, speaking for the makers of Phillips Milk of Magnesia toothpaste and tooth powder. Ladies, don't let your skin go. Don't let carelessness rob your skin of its natural beauty. Use Phillips Milk of Magnesia face creams at once and use them regularly. See how they soften and smooth the skin, and at the same time, help neutralize any excess acid accumulations in the external pore openings. Get Phillips Milk of Magnesia skin cream and Phillips Milk of Magnesia cleansing cream today.
This program came to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.